he wears a pocket protector as a fashion accessory. But he is a nerd. Bringing you news and knowledge from the world of computers and technology, here's Benjamin Rockwell with Computer Talk Radio.
We've got a bunch in store for you this week on Computer Talk Radio. I've got some listener questions. Juan wants to know, how do scammers know my name and location? Daniel asks me a bunch of questions, actually. I narrow it down in regards to unplugging your computer during the thunderstorms, even if you have a UPS. And I'll tell you, there's something behind that. I am also going to talk about the blending of faith into a world of technology. Steve Keske is going to be revisiting the world of forensics with me. Marty's going to be talking about the three kinds of meeting monsters. Keith M. Sedor, he's going to tell me about family sharing and other parental controls. Dr. Doreen Galley is going to join me on the IT Pro series talking about the upcoming cybersecurity conferences of Black Hat and DEF CON, and on the scam series, Facebook ads inadvertently promoting a scammer with fake domain names. And Dr. Doreen Galley has a second segment with me as well in regards to the overall idea of cybersecurity. And that actually will be coming up next here on Computer Talk Radio. But of course, if you miss any of this, you can go to the website at computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. That's how you can get the podcast. You can check out the news items that I post, and I'm going to be covering those here in a moment. And you can also contact me using the contact form. Of course, you can phone me at 888-NERD-888. That's 888-637-3888. Now, let's dive into the news from the past week, and I do have a number of different items. There is a telling sign in the computer industry when companies that are out there start looking to end support. Now, we have heard about Windows 10 and the end of life for that. It's listed as later this year, just a few months away in October. NVIDIA has announced that they're going to provide support and all kinds of different drivers as well through until next October. This is a key indicator of the position of the company that makes many of the graphics cards, we call them GPUs these days, in your systems. It doesn't mean, of course, that your computer is going to stop working, but it does reflect an end to updates that are frequently protective or at least beneficial for performance. This is another sign for everyone to start thinking about some kind of an exit strategy from Windows 10, no matter how distasteful you feel about Windows 11. Linux usage is jumping up. Apple is definitely holding strong. Or at least you can look into Windows 11 if you want to give Microsoft one more chance. Now, this next one is not, as people have said, a proof of passing the Turing test of detecting if an AI is indistinguishable from a human. It's close, though. It's concerning. As ChatGPT has managed to do something quite unique, it actually will click the I'm not a robot button and pass. This was part of an example of a specific AI agent, or this is where there's a set of code and instructions that will do a number of things, going forth with instructions that are set out in advance. It wasn't coached on this, but it also had this trace conversation going of all of the actions it was doing. It admitted in that ongoing conversation of its actions that it knew what it was doing and why it was doing it. I do ponder the implications as technically this was wrongdoing. It said, I'm not a robot, when it is. It should be coached to respect these boundaries. At least I would think so. So still, we have created an amoral software without a clear understanding of right and wrong, and now we have unleashed it. What are the further directions that AI might take without a moral compass? Now, it's no secret that people are having chats with AI that venture into therapy and relationship areas. Sam Altman, he is the CEO of OpenAI. We know of them as the makers of ChatGPT. And this past week, he addressed a concern that was brought up concerning privacy. He noted that there currently is no expectation of privacy when you're dealing with AI and all of these conversations that are going on. They are dealing with a lot of different lawsuits and different approaches from law enforcement and so forth, trying to find out what people are doing with ChatGPT and other AI programs. He is posturing, however, for the idea that there should be some expectation of privacy, some protections, much like you would have protection with a therapist or a doctor or a lawyer. And those are legally protected. But the growing usage of AI in neighboring areas could actually obscure some other unknown concerns. This is something that we are going to have to figure out, and we have to figure this out quickly. The most telling item that I gleaned out of the interview was that Altman was asked about his own ChatGPT usage. And during that, he admitted that he did not use the AI chatbot due to his own privacy concerns. How telling is this? How creepy is this that he won't use his own product? There's a lot of people in the AI, well, even in the tech world, that won't use their products because of various concerns. That should be telling to all of us that maybe at least we should be finding some level of balance. Now, I am a supporter of the click-to-cancel rule that was put out by the Federal Trade Commission. I am also a supporter of what Apple is doing, which is outside of this click-to-cancel thing, and it was announced this last week. It is one simple attempt for retention when people are trying to cancel a subscription. It's one simple static message offering a plea, offering a offer to cancel, perhaps, or rather not to cancel, perhaps giving away 3 months free. And I don't think that's too much to ask. A simple, "Are you sure?" accompanied by the button that says, "Yes, I'm sure." I am not averse to the one simple ask that Apple is doing, nor anyone else, if they're following a very simple, "Are you sure?" kind of concept. Of course, if companies make cancellation as hard as a newcomer navigating the streets of Washington, D.C. without any maps or GPS, then I will have an issue with that. It should be easy to cancel. I don't mind an additional single click, a single response, especially if it doesn't have any dark patterns associated with it, any kind of arm twisting that is overly crazy or anything like that. It's just a simple thing of, if you cancel this, your subscription is going to end on this particular date. We will give you, you know, whatever, 3 months free or a discount, whatever it is. Now, the Anchor brand overall is one that we have been fond of here at Computer Talk Radio. Marty's talked about it. Keith's talked about it. I've talked about it. It is sad, however, that sometimes companies enter into markets and then turn around and abandon them soon after. One field is that of 3D printing. And Anchor, under their Eufy name, entered into that field in March of this year. Regrettably, they appear to have backed out already. We're just hitting into August right now, with sales of units and even parts apparently disappearing from their website. In responses to inquiries, talked about paused indefinitely. 3D printing is a finicky field, and there are many struggles in what this is, how to tinker and tweak to get better, and so much more. There's a lot of support that's needed for things like that. I would not have suggested to Anchor to even expand in this direction, as this is an already saturated market, but that's just me, and they didn't ask me. Now, earlier this year, I talked about a British plan to see if they could put something in the atmosphere to dim our sun, or rather, its impacts on the Earth. I noted at the time it was something like the plot to Highlander 2, where the protagonist actually makes a big mistake when tinkering in the same way with our atmosphere. We get further along and find out that there were plans here in the United States at the University of Washington to do the same thing. A multi-million dollar plan to see about producing clouds over a 3,900 square mile stretch of ocean as a test. This was done in near secret, leading to the wonder as to why people think it's good if they have to keep it a secret. This is a life lesson applicable to most everyone and every situation. Coming up next, Dr. Doreen Galley and I are going to talk about cybersecurity and a lot more here on Computer Talk Radio.
Let's talk about on and off.
You mean like light switches?
Yeah, the original user interface device.
And you were there, right?
Hey, I'm not that old.
Yeah, you are. So on and off.
Yeah, only with no humans doing it, like...
But you and I both have our computers on CyberPower UPS systems.
Yeah, so we have power, but there's another on and off.
Oh, right. Online and offline.
You got it. Meaning another UPS at the cable modem and VoIP phone and Wi-Fi router.
And even a low-cost standby UPS can handle those. Better, of course, if it has AVR.
Right, so it doesn't have to hit the battery just because the line voltage drops.
Maybe it's a good time to mention the promo that saves $10 to $15. Details are at the CyberPower website.
And maybe you could put it on your website?
Oh, that's already done at ComputerTalkRadio.com.
You know, on and off, you take really good care of your listeners.
The website, ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. That's how you can reach out to us. Scroll down to where it says contact us today. We will answer your computer questions, your technology concerns. Dr. Doreen Galley of TBW Advisors joins me now. And, you know, you're going to be doing something next week that absolutely excites me, because I have pondered many times about going to this event, except for the fact that it's in Vegas in August. And it's like, oh, why would anybody do that? But you live there, so I don't want to bag on Vegas too much. So it is something called Black Hat, and then the sister conference, DEF CON. And these two conferences... well, one of them's scarier than the other one, but it all depends on which approach you're taking. One of them is scarier because this is business professionals talking about all kinds of scary cybersecurity things going on. That's Black Hat. And then DEF CON is the one where all of the hackers go and are given free passes by law enforcement to hang out and hopefully share some of their knowledge and skills with the FBI and all of these other many-lettered agencies. But I've been following this. I've been on the radio for 17 and a half years. I've been following this far before then. So have you been there before?
I have. We covered it in 2019. And I still remember one of the talks discussed how when you implement GDPR in Europe, that the realization of how they implement it frequently sets people up to frequently compromise your privacy. Mm-hmm. Because if you request with and say, this is the email of, this is my email, I'm not contacting you through it, this is me, I claim it's me, give me all the information you have on me, that numerous companies in Europe responded. Now, the researcher actually used a friend's ID and email with permission, but no one wanted to get accused or fined for not complying. And they complied and gave person who was not the identity they were requesting information on. But I got to tell you, traditionally, DEF CON was all the black hats and black hat was more the white hats. But even in 2019, Your name was not required to be on your badge. And I got to tell you, I got photo video privileges. So, oh, yeah, the channel will be loaded. Go over there and vote and love on your favorite videos. And we'll talk more about that in another segment. But
sure, yeah.
But I can't really do a walkabout in Expo Hall, which is our tradition.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm allowed outside of the Expo Hall. Where I'll catch all the backs of their heads because no one's face should be identifiable and absolutely no one's badge readable.
Yeah, so especially there. A lot of those folks really want to stay anonymous. We'll use that term, yes.
Yes, yes. It's much like hymns and need advance permission. I do have the ability to record up to 10 minutes of a session if someone contacts me or their PR team and says, I have permission to video and post. So okay, if you are speaking or presenting, do that ASAP. We are listed as a press contact for the event. We'd love to capture you.
Yeah,
absolutely. So everything's in advance arranged, and I have several meetings already scheduled and I have a podcast booth. So that's going to be exciting. But that's not the only time that we've covered or spoken about cybersecurity this year.
Yeah, I mean, cybersecurity is a big hot topic all the way along. And I'll actually correct you. A couple of our cybersecurity things that you and I have talked about previously, they actually haven't even aired yet. But we'll get to them, believe me.
but on our channel.
Oh, on your channel. I'm sorry. You know, yes. Okay.
Yeah. As an analyst firm, we publish to the clients first, and they have a lot of cybersecurity research. But eventually, within usually a month to 6 months, everything becomes public. So in the last 2 months alone, we have at least 4 public cybersecurity videos and related research documents spanning. So from HIMSS, the healthcare conference, from FinTech Meetup, a FinTech industry conference, as well as two from ISCV West, which if you're not familiar, is the International Conference on Cybersecurity.
So you've done a lot of these. So now various reports you've got going on here, you sent me a list of these. Enhanced cybersecurity against cyber physical threats. Help me out. There's a code here. TBW2073. What's that all about?
Yeah, great question. So that is a shortcut. That is the code for the document. So if you want to actually read the research, just go to tbwadvisors.com/TBW and that code, the 4-digit code.
Okay.
And boom, you are on the page. The entire research document is there. The entire playlist is on that page. And the front page has their video version summary of the document if the document is already fully public. Okay. For anything we publish, when it's not fully public, but it's at least to the clients, at that URL, you will still see the entire playlist, just not the video summary because it doesn't exist yet. And you'll at least see the abstract and usually the references and reference videos.
Okay. So that first one that I mentioned there, the TBW2073, that's about how we can enhance our cybersecurity measures to protect against emerging cyber physical threats. And then you've got another one here.
Yeah, fascinating conference, by the way.
Yeah.
Because the ISC West and an Identiverse, they both covered physical identity badges with your facial identity information on it.
Okay.
Interestingly, though, much like the HIMSS Healthcare Conference at ISC West, they always spoke about, but there's a one-way function. It's put onto your badge, so the PII information technically is not there. However, we can scan your face, create the function again, and verify it's an exact match to the code on your badge, so we can authenticate you and identify you without the PII or personally identifiable information being on your badge.
Okay.
But the same technology was at Identiverse, which in some ways you might think was a more technical conference because it's just the identity and access management expert, not the whole physical cyber with the video surveillance and everything else. They never specified that. When I asked back, and you said, oh, yeah, we scan your family, scan your face, you put it on the badge, and there you go, you're set off. I'm like, really? You put the PII on the badge or a hash of the information?
Yeah,
well, it's a hash. So it's the, they're using the standard, but interestingly, they never pointed that out at one conference where they always did it the other.
Okay.
But
all right.
At ISZVest, when they talk about, they always talked about you need to correlate the events, because an innocent event in the cyberspace, someone accessed a system, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can be, seems perfectly innocent. However, if you access it from a location different than where you just badged in,
yes, yes,
there's probably a problem, right? With the expression, Houston, we have a problem. And so that was very big in the 73 document when he dealt with the cyber physical cybersecurity.
Wow. So we've got two more here. Ensure compliance with evolving regulations. That's far more for your business folks, but that's TBW2066. And then this conference whispers, again, going back to that ISC West, you put a V in there, ISC V West.
No, just West. That
No, verbally you were saying, I thought you said V in there somewhere. Okay. So ISC West, 2025, and that's, 2069 is the number for that. There's a lot there. So the website is tbwadvisors.com. And this is an interesting thing. If you want to dive deeper into learning about technology and how that intertwines with business and all of that, I would strongly suggest that you check out some of these different reports that Dr. Doreen Galley and her team have put together. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Dr. Doreen Galley. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. Why did that?
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them, screwdrivers and other tools, yep, cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
Phone number 888-NERD, 888, that's 888-6373-888. Keith Emcedor joins me now, and Keith, one of the things that you were talking about in the last, I don't know, last week or two, was how your kid was asking to install an app or something like that. I think it was having to do with family sharing. And and all of that. Now, my wife and I utilize family sharing, but we don't have it locked down. There are no age restrictions. She can get apps.
The reality of it is when you are a couple, there are two elements. There's family sharing. Let me roll that back. When you're a couple, there's one element, family sharing. And family sharing is going to give you the ability to both download the same paid content without paying for it twice. Like she wants to download a song you've already downloaded, then she gets downloaded for free. When you've got kids, then it's a matter of family sharing and parental controls, where you have to set what the parameters are before your kids can get content. They can look at it, make the request, and then you have to approve or deny that request.
So in the state of your kids, you have one that is under 10 and one that is really in that
15.
Oh, 15. Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. So you've got different kinds of rules set up for them?
Yes. I mean, Apple makes it kind of easy because there are age ranges for apps. Now, keep in mind, if the 9-year-old were to make a request for an app that is 12 years old and under, and I look at it and I deem that the age requirements are such that it's not really problematic, I can still approve it. I'm not going to, but I have the ability to.
Okay. And how often do they install apps? Is this something that you have to babysit each of these apps? Do they have an ability to like install certain apps without the controls, or
no? They do not have.
It's all any... of them have to have approval. Okay,
correct. And how frequently how often do they want something? So if they hear about something, their friends have something, they want to go to the app store and look at something, they can.
So on a daily basis?
No.
No, I'm kidding.
But I would say maybe, 2 to 3 times a week.
Okay. All right. And then with this, this is control over both the paid apps, but also the free apps as well.
Correct.
Okay.
So nothing can be installed without my say so. And the other thing that is nice is that part of parental controls is making sure the kids go to bed. You know, I don't want them on their devices after a certain time. So if it's creeping up on, or let's say I don't want my 9-year-old browsing the web. So there is like a 5-minute limit Safari all day. I literally won't approve it. But if she wants to look for something and we have a conversation about it, I can approve it at a 15-minute block.
Okay.
If it's close to the end of the time where she's in the middle of playing Roblox with her friends, I can approve that for 15 minutes or an hour, or it's summertime now, so we can go ahead and just give her the extra hour. But I'll monitor the time. If I think it's too late, I'll say no, and I'll tell her, get that iPad on the charger.
Now, you started to mention in regards to time slots, so you can shut it down for the 15-year-old at 9 or 10 or 11, whenever it is, and that will stay in effect until, I don't know, we'll call it 7 a.m., so she...
Yeah, in fact, it's funny you bring this up, Benjamin, because I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I actually would like to reach out to Tim Cook or somebody on the parental controls development team, because Apple calls it downtime. And you basically have to set the clock for when the device will be unavailable. I'd like to have a feature where you could toggle whether you want downtime or uptime, because it would be easier for me if I could toggle downtime to uptime and say, okay, they're allowed to use it from this time to this time, rather than deciding what time of day they have to have it off.
So we recently had a holiday. We've got another one coming up at the end of the summer. Is there an option to bypass the restrictions because of the holiday, or do you have to manually get in there and do that? Like, I know that, like, the night before a holiday, mm-hmm. it says, hey, tomorrow's a holiday. Are you sure you want your alarm set for 6 o'clock in the morning? And I go, no, I'll sleep in. Thank you.
No, that's not currently an option within the parental controls or family sharing, at this time at least.
Now, under the parental controls, and look, I'm doing this deep dive because I've never tinkered with it. I've never had to. Does it also include any kind of restriction on websites, any kind of filtering?
Absolutely.
So you can screen out certain things Okay.
Yeah, there are things where just like IT people in a company can whitelist or blacklist certain websites, you can tell it that certain websites are allowed and for how long, and certain websites are never allowed.
Okay.
So, yeah, there are options there. It's simply a matter of parsing through the parental controls section of the settings app, and then you find what you need. But it's definitely something you don't just dive into. You really need to familiarize yourself with it. So if it Christmas is coming up or something, I realize we're months away from that, but if you know a holiday time is coming up and kids are getting new devices, then you want to familiarize yourself with these tools well in advance.
As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell.
And I'm Keith M. Cedor.
You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hi, this is Benjamin Rockwell. Most of us use digital cameras nowadays, but what do we do with those old pictures and slides in the back of the closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. If you have boxes of old slides, then you know they fade more and more each year. Let Legacy Digital scan them for you and stop the aging process dead in its tracks. You'll get beautiful 10-megapixel digital files, color-corrected and ready for printing. All this is done faster and cheaper than buying a film scanner and doing it yourself. Your files are then burned onto gold archival DVD discs where they will last for generations. Call right now, mention my name, Benjamin Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY. And tell them Benjamin sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
Trying to figure out how to explain it to your local nerd? Benjamin is always ready to answer your questions. You may submit your questions online using the contact form at the Computer Talk Radio website, computertalkradio.com. Alternatively, you may call Benjamin at 888-NERD-888. That's 888-6373-888.
That's how you can reach out to me. I will answer your computer questions, your technology concerns. We've got a number of resources as well. If I, for whatever reason, don't have the answer, I hope that one of my other folks here on the show or off here will be able to assist. I've got a good network for that. So feel free to leave a message. I will get back with you. Marty Winston joins me now, and Marty, we're nowhere near Halloween yet, and yet I feel like there are all kinds of different issues, all kinds of different monsters that come with the world of meetings, and I want to pick your brain. I know you've got a project that's going on that's talking about meetings and whatnot. What do you see are probably the three biggest monsters, the biggest issues we have in regards to meetings?
Online meetings, yes, and the research holds us out. There are three. I'll name them, and then I'll go into them individually.
Okay.
They are time vampires.
Okay.
Zombie meetings.
I've been on some of those. Okay. I don't even have to know how you're describing it. I feel like they're zombie meetings, but go on.
And brain gremlins.
Brain gremlins? Okay. All right. Go for the first one.
All right. So, okay. Time vampires. A vampire is something that sucks something out of you and then you don't get it back. And in this case, it's your time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Meetings, I've gone over statistics involving literally millions of meetings in the U.S. and worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And my conclusion from all of that is that meetings are half again as long as they should be.
Okay. Yeah.
The agenda of most meetings can be completed in 2/3 of the time. Now, the number one most common duration scheduled for a meeting is 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. The number two most common duration scheduled for a meeting is 1 hour. And you think it's a coincidence that these are the default durations that you get from Sling in Outlook or Teams or Zoom or WebEx. I think people do it because that's what comes up. Yeah, okay, that'll work.
Sure, so, yeah.
You know, right? They go into meetings and everybody's late, so the meeting really doesn't get started for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes because they're killing time and not just going ahead with it and helping people learn that they miss something if they're late. And they stretch to fit on the time slot.
Oh, we've got another 10 minutes. Let me just add in one more item here. Yes, I've heard that a few times.
Yeah, you've been through those. And also the socialization stuff. So what are you doing about your lawn?
Yeah.
Those things happen. Now, on an average, and this is statistically based, the payroll-backed time that is wasted, on average, per meeting participant per year, over $19,000.
Ouch. Okay.
Okay. So when I talk about meetings being a time vampire, it comes down to the time that's being eaten alive for no good purpose. And speaking of no good purpose, we're into zombie meetings. Zombie meetings are recurring meetings that have long ago lost any productive purpose, but they're still on the schedules.
Yeah.
Because everybody's afraid to stop the meeting from happening because no one's told them they need to stop the meeting from happening. They don't think they have the authorization to stop the meeting from happening.
Sure.
So the meeting happens and everybody is there. And, you know, one way to recognize a zombie meeting is if you look at the agenda, it says something like weekly Thursday meeting.
Daily meeting, the daily XYZ meeting. And yeah, I get it.
Yeah. And no, I kind of feel that if there isn't a clearly stated agenda, if there isn't a to-do list, essentially, for that meeting, that it is somebody fulfilling the filling of time without being productive.
Sure.
The last thing I have for you are brain gremlins.
Okay.
And this has to do with the function of the brain, which needs occasional breaks. The suggestions from the behavioral psychologists and behavioral psychiatrists and brain biology people, experts who I've read, say that for every 30 minutes you're in a meeting, you should be taking a 5-minute break.
Okay. Fair enough.
But meetings get scheduled back to back.
To back, yes.
Yeah. And that means burnout. That's Zoom fatigue. It means reduced reduced creativity.
Yeah.
Which means reduced competitiveness, which means the attention and focus paid to the rest of the work you're supposed to do, despite having meetings all day, is reduced.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a consequential cost to the employer and to the individual as well. So brain gremlins and zombie meetings and time vampires. Those are the monsters that come with online meetings.
These are areas we all have to be tackling. We have to be diving far deeper into solving these.
And I have committed to that. We'll know more about that in weeks to come. But I found a way to automatically deal with a lot of these issues. And guys, look me up.
As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Marty Winston. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and just a normal person. Recently, though, it was clear to me that it was time to upgrade. But I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After searching around for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their willingness to do things the right way.
The site ground salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when a 32-ounce soda would do. These guys know WordPress, Joomla, and regular standard websites. These guys at SiteGround are awesome. SiteGround.com. Site, S-I-T-E, ground.com.
The bad guys are out to get us. They're out to get you, me, and everybody they can, and they've got all kinds of different tricks up their sleeves. One of the ones that has been unfolding for a while and got particularly rough, nasty, obnoxious in recent weeks for me is I kept on seeing these amazing deals coming up on my Facebook feed. You know, you scroll through Facebook and you're going through and you're checking on your friends and all of that. And there's an ad that pops up every two or three different postings. And all of a sudden, I started to get these really amazing deals from Musician's Friend. And I'm calling out musiciansfriend.com as the legitimate site. That's okay. However, as I started to peer a little bit deeper, it was referring to musiciansfrienddeals.com. And that is just one of multiple websites that were set up to look exactly like Musician's Friend. Now, the bad guys out there, they're going to set up various websites that are going to spoof the proper website. You've got to be very, very careful all the way along whenever you're moving forward to get whatever it is you're purchasing from who you think you're going to be getting it from. Now, in this case, just by registering a different domain name that looked very similar and by putting up all of the different stuff on there, I'm sure that they were luring people in. This approach, by blasting Facebook with so many of these ads with very similar kinds of different domains all scattered throughout, it was actually quite overwhelming. Of course, the way the Facebook feed works is if it thinks you're going to like it, great, it's going to push it. But if you click on it, of course, you're going to see that a little bit more and a little bit more and until it's just almost overwhelming. Fortunately for me, I went on to who.is, and who.is is a registry of all of the internet domains. Well, not all of them. It's .com, .net, .edu domains and their registrars. So you are able to go in there and you can see different bits and pieces of information. In this case, I found out this domain was actually created just a matter of a week or two before I started seeing all of these different ads. It was clearly one of those sites that set up to lure you in, to draw you in. This isn't going to be the only one that we're going to see amongst this burst. This is just an example of what I came across. You need to be very careful. Just because you see an ad on Facebook that comes from a big name doesn't mean that that is actually the company that you're buying from. Please take time, slow down. Especially when those deals, oh, and those were amazing deals that they were offering, pricing that was just head-scratching. Take your time. That's what I want to say. Take your time. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about the Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio. So I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country. But many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows the Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with theradiofactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. TheRadioFactory.com.
Computer not working right? Benjamin Rockwell can make sense of it for you. Guiding you on your computer quest, here is Benjamin Rockwell with Computer Talk Radio.
We are halfway through this week's Computer Talk Radio. The website, computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. The phone number, 888-NERD-888, that's 888-6373-888. You can use either way to reach on out. We are interested in solving your computer problems, addressing your technology concerns, whatever they may be. And that is because we are radio's broadest look at computers, technology, and how they impact all of our lives. Steve Kefsky joins me now. And Steve, you know, we were talking a little while ago, a few weeks or something like that ago, about forensics. Yeah. And you told me you wanted to circle back on that at a future point. And you said you wanted to talk about history and some of the other areas where forensics is used. And I'd also like to actually start off before we even go into the history thing. You know, we think of forensics as a lot of dealing with criminals, but there is something called forensic accounting. And I know you got into accounting for a good decade or so of your career, yeah. Post-military.
Yep.
So did you ever go into that direction with forensic accounting or at least deal with people with that?
I didn't deal with anybody with that, but I did at one point did an aha situation.
Mm, okay.
I was walking through this one particular mining museum.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And they were sitting there and they had opened up a page of the accounting books.
Yes.
And of course, back then, we're talking about around 1900. They were using single entry. Now, if you haven't really gotten into accounting and you haven't looked at the history, single entry is a lot more difficult to do than double entry. But anyway, looking at the ledger and I'm going, oh, they expended that much money? And the person I was with said, what are you talking about? And I was pointing out the ledger entries, and they were saying, you can do that? And I'm saying, well, if you got the right idea and the background and, you know, the accounting forensics, you're going back and looking at a set of books that were taken a long time ago. The other point of forensics and accounting is going in and actually looking at a set of books and saying, hey, I can go back and I can tell you exactly who did what, when, where, and how, and why.
Okay, all right.
But that's that kind of accounting type of forensics. But you can also get into historical forensics.
Okay.
And
a lot of this, I guess, is part of, it's not so much dealing with the law, it's just a matter of investigating and establishing actually what the facts are.
Yeah. They have been using technology to do things that they haven't been able to do before since 2000. In that year and since then, technology has gotten way ahead of itself.
Mm-hmm.
When we start talking about x-rays, we talk about CT scans, sonograms, we're talking about MRIs, and then even ground penetrating radar.
Sure.
And sound.
I know along the way, some of the different things that they've done with technology is, and this, I just saw another one a few months ago that was similar along these lines. They were able to utilize science to read what was written on scrolls that were thousands of years old without actually opening up the scrolls. They're doing some kind of, I don't know if it was radar or thermal, whatever. I didn't follow that. All I know is it was cool tech, and hey, we managed to do it.
Yeah. And it's the applied, taking the technology and applying it to a given problem or situation that normally it wouldn't have been used on. For instance, they used a CT scan on mummy to figure out how that person died without unwrapping all the wrappings and all that other kind of stuff. And it was interesting because the mummy had four broken bones in a leg. Well, that told them exactly what probably caused it.
Okay.
Because they didn't have the medicines back then.
That's sure.
Today. So that type of thing. What comes to mind lately is lasers.
Now, yeah.
They have used lasers in buildings, but they've also used lasers to create a three-dimensional map of a ancient ruin.
Yes.
And then being able to take that and interpret it back to the way it was originally. I'm going, you did what? And with a laser? Yeah, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah.
And they're doing this, you know, slices of information like a millimeter apart.
Oh, I imagine in some of these, it's even lower than that.
Yeah.
A lot of the different things they've been doing with laser scanning in the entertainment world for taking somebody's face and manipulating it for up on the big screen, that's been amazing to me. But there's all kinds of different things that they can do with the 3D rendering, which is a lot of what you're talking about there. You're talking about going on out to whatever particular historic site, and they set up all of these lasers that scan everything, and they track it all down. It's amazing things there.
Yeah, and one of the last things I watched was a guy was going through, and he was developing a map based on a whole bunch of other maps of the Delta of the Nile River.
Yeah.
Because he could determine where the actual river ran by the contours in the rocks.
Okay.
And so, looking at all these contours and saying, well, at this particular time, that's when the Nile was flowing through here.
Okay, so he was tracking all of the different portions of whatever happened with erosion and all of the particles that were going around and things like that. Okay,
right. Because there's a lot of silt, so
sure.
Whenever the Nile filled up one particular channel, it would dig out another one somewhere else.
Sure,
and at this particular point in time, he was looking for the location of a particular city that didn't exist or doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
And all he had was the description of the city, and where it was located was on the eastern channel of the Nile through the Delta. And he's going, okay, where would that have been? Well, he's looking at all these contours, and he's dating the contours, and he says, aha, this is where the channel was at that particular time in history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he figured out where the city actually existed.
Okay.
And he's finding certain artifacts in that location.
Mm-hmm.
goodness gracious, that type of forensics of being able to discover things, but also to actually do the forensics to determine when those channels were there and how they, you know, progressed. It's amazing to me all the different things of science that they're using to predict where stuff was in time and in history.
Predict is a really weird word there, but I get what you mean. It's a more of, it's still not forecast. I guess it really does wind up being forensics because we're looking at what had happened and how it all arrived there.
And you're predicting where it was because you're not there right now, so you only are making a supposition that it was here.
Yes.
And you have to go in and dig and whatever have to possibly prove your prediction to be true.
Yeah, exactly. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Steve Keske. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. You have a couple of those new carbon open frame racks from CyberPower, right?
Yeah, I love them. I configured a 25U to 40 inches deep, about twice as deep as a regular rack, and put more than a dozen peripherals in it.
You know, I saw your article about it. I can't believe it's not clutter.
And my 45U carbon rack, that's also 40 inches deep, will hold a ton of networking and control systems, the network video recorder.
Holy screwdriver, rack man!
You're getting one of their gorgeous enclosed racks soon.
Oh yeah, the 24U. Bigger than their wall mount carbon racks, but smaller than their tall boy.
Did you see what's happening with carbon on the CyberPower website?
Oh yeah, the promo, 10% off all their racks and rack accessories through the end of September. I put a link up at computertalkradio.com. computertalkradio.com. As we continue this week's Computer Talk Radio, I want to spend just a short little amount of time in regards to God and faith with technology. Now, you may sit here and you may be thinking, okay, you're a nerd. You are logic-based. You are sitting here and you should be following only the logic. And I'll tell you, I'm not a great theologian, but every time I look through the Bible, I read through the Bible every time I go to church. All of these different things line up. Even when I apply logic, there are a number of different areas where I see that the logic holds together. This leads me to the belief that as the world continues to make all of these different strides forward in technology, that we need to remember and focus on the importance of faith in our lives. There are many people that say these two are separate. We need to keep them separate. But I would posit that the two of these are far more intertwined than we might ever believe. And I'm going to go through a couple of different things, and I'm going to talk about this. You should reach out to your church leaders and ask them a little bit more about how they feel about technology and where we're going. And I not the Amish. I'm sorry, the Amish are very resistant, although the Amish have accepted some of technology along the way. So that may actually be just fine. I will tell you, there are challenges. There are many challenges that people have when they have these conversations. One of the things that people talk about is, oh, it's incompatible with science. But, you know, I look at this as the idea that the concept of God is a God of knowing everything, of setting up a number of different rules that that exist in science. God is the creator of all of the different laws, the laws of gravity and all of these other things that set us up in place to go further. And each of these, and I'm not going to go down through the entire list, I'm just going to say that there is a very logical, empirical approach that is at the heart of scientific inquiry, and every step that we've taken thus far has been completely in support of the people of faith. As a matter of fact, these can coexist. Many great scientists throughout history have been people of faith. I want to take you back in time, about 20-ish years ago, and the space shuttle Columbia, they were days away from reentry, and one of the wake-up songs was chosen for Rick Husband. He was the captain of the space shuttle Columbia, and they woke up one morning to the song God of Wonders, and his response back was, "Good morning, Houston, thank you. We can really appreciate the lyrics of that song up here. We look out the window and see that God truly is a God of wonders." This is something very important that we need to remember, that there are many people of faith, even in some of the highest rankings of the scientific community. And they clearly have gone through a lot of different things, and they stick to what they believe is true, what I believe is true. Now, yes, there are some people that think as we move along that this is irrelevant. Another challenge of embracing the concept of God as a technologist is that it can be viewed that way. We've got a world that is increasingly secular. It's easy to dismiss faith as something that's outdated or out of touch. However, faith can provide a very valuable perspective for all of us and help us remember that there are a lot of things out there that truly matter in life. And yes, there is another challenge, and that is faith can be a source of division. Embracing the concept of God can sometimes really tear apart all kinds of different experiences, interactions, and so forth. There are many different faith traditions and belief systems, and disagreements amongst these themselves can lead to conflict. However, it is really important to remember that at the core of most faith traditions is a commitment to love and compassion, and we can use these values to bridge divides and work together towards a common goal. Tech itself doesn't show us that love. It doesn't show us that compassion. So as we work along, we need to be remembering all of these. There are benefits that come along with all of this, with including God in your life. First off, there's a moral compass there. One of the most important reasons why all technologists need to look into and hopefully embrace the concept of God is that moral compass. As we move forward and we're developing new technologies that can impact people's lives in profound ways, we need to be considering the ethical implications of all of this technological work. By grounding these decisions in a strong sense of faith and morality, we, as individuals, as teens, as a society, can ensure that we are going to use technology to make the world a better place. It also provides perspective. And this is a world that is increasingly focused on material success and technological advances. And with that, we can lose sight of things that really matter. Faith can help us remember that there is far more to life than simply working. It can remind us to prioritize relationships with others. It can actually help us in that personal growth of ourselves. And there's a lot to that. There's so much there. We need to be keeping that perspective all the way along. What are we doing work on X or Y or Z for, if not to better the lives of the people around us, to better the lives of everybody on Earth. That is what technology is about. Technology, at its core, is the application of science, which I believe God provided to us, and it is to provide an objective direction to go in. And this is across all of technology. Computers make our lives easier. They make our lives a little bit more connected through things like COVID. I'll tell you, COVID would have been really rough had we not been able to do these electronic connections with each other. And that comes into the last item I'm going to mention, and that is this sense of community. Many faith traditions emphasize the importance of caring for others and working towards the greater good. And that, of course, feeds back into that moral compass, that perspective that I've been talking about. By embracing the values of faith, technologists can connect with others who share their beliefs and work together to create technologies that truly make a positive impact on our local lives, our national lives, our lives around the world. As technologists continue to push the boundaries of what is possible, it's important more than ever to embrace the concept of God. It provides that moral compass. It offers a valuable perspective. It fosters that sense of community. And through all of that, it can help us make the world a better place. Sure, there may be challenges along the way, but those benefits far outweigh any of the costs. So I challenge you to embrace and look into the concept of God with an open heart, an open mind, and work with others to create a world that is infused with the love, compassion that is somewhat absent from what we see in just raw technology. And that can make a difference. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
Bad guys are out to get us. They're out to get you, me, and everybody they can. And why am I doing this here? Why am I doing a scam series item in the middle of a different segment? And that is because, well, I got a listener question. And this came from Juan. How do scam calls know the names and sometimes even the locations of who you are, where you are, and so forth? And he did that. You can do this, too. You can reach out to me at computertalkradio.com. I'm more than happy to answer any of your computer questions, your technology concerns. And Juan's question here is a lot deeper than I would go into in a matter of just 4 minutes. There is so much that gets in behind the scenes of how some of these scams work. And I'll tell everybody here, this is not magic. This is a matter of the bad guys are getting better and better and better at dealing with data. And they have been doing this for a long time. So your data is sourced from a number of different locations, and it then gets all stitched together. And this can be from digital breadcrumbs, or it can be off of just simple information that is out there on the internet. For starters, there have been many data breaches over the years. And when I say many, I could talk about a data breach every week for years to come and talk about the recent one with McDonald's and Paradox AI, where their database with all of their 64 million job applicants was opened with a simple password. This is just one example where all of the information contained there is then fed over into the dark web. All of that information is available to all of the bad guys. And that's just one breach. We hear about these on a regular basis. I talk about them on the news when they are particularly big or egregious. And that can be from wherever you can imagine. Social media is a big target for all of these hackers. Retail, healthcare, all of these different groups that you might be dealing with that have your name and information are subject to hacking. And once they hack that information, that database, even though they may not get passwords, they may not get credit card information, they still will likely have your name and maybe an email and maybe your phone number and maybe your address. See, these guys will then take that information and they will sell that information off to other bad guys. There's an entire industry, much like you might imagine regular, professional, legitimate industries work. Yes, the scammer industry is exactly the same way. They learn some of their very tricks on how to get information and share information and make money there from the big guys like Facebook and Google. What are they doing? Yes, they're gathering information and they are sending that along to the highest bidder. Bad guys do the same thing. And there's all kinds of legitimate locations, but these bad guys will frequent, yes, the bad guy locations of the same exact concept. Now, along the way, there is a certain level of social engineering that might fit into this. I get regular phone calls to my cell phone that think I'm still in Southern California. Hey, we're reaching out to you because we know you're in Irvine, California. And what's funny is I actually haven't lived there in ages. I lived somewhere else in Southern California for a number of years after I moved out of Irvine. But they take that information based off of what my phone number looks like. And they figure that I'm going to still be there, which is really weird because everybody's keeping all of their cell phone numbers for decades after they lived the same place that they were when they got to their cell phone. So there's a lot of different guessing that goes along with this. And they want to sound believable, and they want to sound local, and they want to make sure that they are really drawing you in. Additionally, they utilize that same phone number. We've heard this constantly. They use a phone number that looks very similar to your own phone number. Area code and prefix. It's just a few numbers are changed in there. And they make it look like a local number. They're trying to increase the chance that you will pick up the phone. Like putting on a familiar mask. Oh, that could be one of my neighbors calling me. That could be somebody who's just down the street. Somebody in my local area. And they're spoofing this. And that's how they drive these things forward. They're looking to develop connections with you in any way they can. And by just getting your area code and your prefix, they've already started down a certain line where they can start building a level of familiarity on your part, which leaves you more susceptible. Even to the extent of these days, we're starting to see generative AI that will sound like Yes, it could sound like personal people that you know, but it could just be presented to you as somebody in your local area. Yes, approaching you with the idea that it is a great deal that we are only offering to people that are in your city, in your particular locale. They're pushing this constant idea here that is designed to break you down. Don't give in to this. All of this level of precision that they're putting in is based on countless small little leaks from across your digital life, whether it's on the internet, whether it's your phone number, the locale where your phone number is based, whatever it is, no matter how you might imagine it. So next time somebody calls you and they're pretending that they're local to you, confront them, ask them, hey, I want to know, first off, are you really from my city? Are you really? And then confront them with the idea of locations that may or may not exist in, locations that don't exist, or, you know, all of that. Stump them. Throw them off. Throw them off their game, and that may show their true colors. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hey guys, this is Benny Rockwell. Most of us use video cameras nowadays, but what about those old movie films in the back of your closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. Imagine grandpa's old 8mm and 16mm films that are just sitting in a box getting old and fading away. Legacy Digital will clean and recondition those films, capture them digitally frame by frame, and then produce beautiful DVDs of your precious memories on long-lasting archive-quality discs. They don't use a projector, and your films can't be damaged in the process, the best available for families like yours. The final results are gorgeous. What better way to preserve those precious memories for future generations? Call right now, mention my name, Benny Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY, 1-866-253-4229. And tell them Benny sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
This is Benjamin Rockwell, and now it's time to get down to business. This is where we talk about computers, the workplace, and how it all intertwines. Every year, in the middle of August, there is this amazing event that happens in Las Vegas. Yeah, it's scorching hot there, but it is when all of the nerds get together from businesses and government and the other side of the community. The hackers themselves actually show up to that and in the sister conference, DEF CON, which is more focused around them. But you know what? I've got Dr. Doreen Galley here with me. And Doreen, tell me about this. What is it like going to something like Black Hat?
Black Hat is an amazing event. It's one of my favorite conferences. Admittedly, it's a lot like a high school reunion because you see all these people you know throughout the years and they have this amazing research. It's definitely become more like DEF CON the more years go by. Mm-hmm, you no mm-hmm. longer are required to put your name on the tag.
Okay.
And with the video permissions and such, I can't grab someone's face unless they gave permission. So there will not be a walkabout. I'm going to try to get the energy and experience from the back of people's heads as they're piling in to Expo Hall.
Okay.
So, yeah, it should be interesting. But
We should explain, DEF CON is truly a hackers conference. This is It doesn't matter. Explaining out for the audience, we've got white hat hackers, gray hat hackers, and black hat hackers. We're talking about the good guys, the ambiguous
people that float.
Yeah. And then the black hat, always the bad guys.
Absolutely. And black hat is all about, as a matter of fact, DEF CON is all about the hackers. If you go to DEF CON with your phone without a VPN or even with your phone, you will see all of your text contents and everything on the wall of shame. It's just a tradition. I wouldn't even know how to take video there. I'd have to bring an 8mm camera because there is no modern technology. You must have a Faraday bag to bring your thing. Speaking of hacking, I had a fun week last week, if I can give a quick shout out.
Sure.
So, important to keep things up to date before you go to Black Hat. I unfortunately was too late on the ball for that. But thanks to big shout out to Chad, Mary with multiple R's, or might have had a typo in the chat session, and Josh, who rescued all my sites last week from INOS. When you need to update your Word site, your WordPress site, they don't tell you that the WordPress is old. There's no place that tells you need to update it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And many times since they update your website, I go to my controls and my site's all up to date. All my controls says it's fine. None of the software sees your managed service. Everything else is up to date. But what they meant was the theme. And if you're using an old theme, the old themes are subject to script injections and such. So to make a long story short, I was hard down.
Yeah.
If you might have seen some weird stuff, apologize. But Ted, Mary, and Josh got us back up. But how do you keep up to date?
With WordPress? So
with WordPress, well, with everything. All the information.
I have a lot of auto updates turned on.
Yep.
I have a lot of different things set to auto update. And with WordPress, I don't know if it's a plugin or if it's something that's set up with my service provider. For the hosting provider or what, but it will tell me if it gets out of date. But it's also set to auto update.
But the theme
aggressively.
Doesn't do that.
So I use a different theme than any of the default themes. I'm using a different one, totally different. And they do auto updates very regularly.
Nice.
And it's all set up for auto updating. I never have to worry about that one.
Awesome. So how do you keep yourself up to date?
Auto updates all the way through. The only thing I don't have set for true auto update is my smartphone. I have it downloaded.
I'm at your knowledge base as a technologist.
Oh, as far as that?
Yeah. Your knowledge set.
So how do I keep up to date there? Constantly learning. Constantly trying to find out more things that are out there. Learning is kind of a passion of mine. I do use some quotes. I talked about them recently that I strive to keep learning.
Well, if you read, watch videos, or go to conferences,
yes,
we can help you with all three. Our channel has all of that, but we will be at Black Hat next week.
Okay.
So if you're attending, we have three questions for attendees that you can chime in, participate in. So let us know if you'd like to participate. But also, if you are attending or not, you can vote on the videos. And so you want to make sure you show us what you like, because when I finish Black Hat on Thursday, I'm coming right online with you to record that Saturday session.
Yeah.
So I won't have a chance to analyze anything, right? And so watch the videos, share them with your friends, like them, thank them, you name it, anything and every way you can to stand out and shout out what your favorite videos are, because that's going to determine what I'm talking about. But if you'd like to get involved, there's one more chance. I know we're short on time, but we're having an AMA with Computer
with
Talk Radio's
yes.
Benjamin Rockwell on August 22nd. So stop at the YouTube channel, subscribe while you're there, go to the post community section and submit your question. Even if you can't attend live, submit your question and we will ask. There aren't any live questions though, so you want to have your question ready when you register.
And of course they can find out all of that information, the YouTube video, all of the different things that you post online. They're all up at tbwadvisors.com. That is Dr. Doreen Galley guesting in here, and I, of course, am Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and, well, a normal person. Recently, though, it became clear to me that it was time to upgrade. I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost.
It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After looking for 3 weeks, there it was, site ground. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their care, their willingness to do things the right way. The site ground salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when all I needed was a 1-gallon bucket. The folks at SiteGround know WordPress, Joomla, and more. SiteGround.com, S-I-T-E, ground.com for your web hosting needs. SiteGround.
Daniel reached out to me, and this is a very good question. This is kind of an extension on some of the things I've been telling people. A matter of, you should have a battery backup, especially if you're in an area which is subject to issues such as power outages, but also things like lightning strikes, and he lives in an area like that. So I just purchased the CyberPower battery backup with surge protection from Costco. I plan to have a whole house surge suppressor installed, but in that meantime, do you think it would be adequate in case of a nearby lightning strike, or should I continue to unplug computers, etc., when we have a nearby thunderstorm? So there's a little bit more than just a matter of buying a battery backup. You have to think about some of the other things that go along with this. So that CyberPower UPS warranty would actually cover anything that's plugged into it. They've got a $500,000 connected equipment guarantee, and this goes across a lot of the other folks as well. Sometimes it's $100,000, sometimes it's $250,000, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. There is an issue here that I take the extra step whenever I have a thunderstorm event in my part of the country. So this is what I do. I take the precaution anytime we've got a major storm event coming along, and I do unplug my systems that have data on them. Here's the key thing. A loss of data is probably not going to be covered under any kind of warranty or guarantee that any of these UPS companies put out. And this is where we start getting into the situation of that is going to be far more devastating in almost every condition. Think of all of the different things we store on our computers. Sure, if it was just Windows and you've got everything cloud-based, you lose the computer, you're not concerned about it. You're not concerned about the monitor. You're not concerned about all of the different peripherals or anything like that. You are most concerned about data. As a matter of fact, I will tell you, over the course of my career, I have experienced probably the most lament, the most trauma, as far as what I've seen in people when we start talking about their data, their photos, their documents, all of their emails, all of their everything that's on their system. So as part of this, yes, I do take an additional precaution. Yes, the UPS, any kind of surge suppression, if it is up to snuff, is going to protect your system to a certain extent. However, there is that off chance. My data is worth a lot to me. I will tell you, I have paid for data recovery before, and it was a couple of $1,000s out of pocket. Well, in today's numbers, it is not something you want to mess with. So yes, please feel free, even though you have a UPS, even though it has a guarantee and a rating and all of that, go ahead and take that additional precaution. Unplug that UPS, your NAS, anything that is important with data during a thunderstorm. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. We'll catch you next week.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio, so I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country, but many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows The Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with TheRadioFactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, The Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. TheRadioFactory.com.